And I'm going to share the gospel. And just praying last night and today, just, Lord, what do you want to do? And so I'm going to ask you to just kind of, maybe if you've got your phone or your Bible, you want to click various verses as I go along, please click along or turn in the scripture or just listen. But try and take on board what I'm sharing today is life and death. And often we can think, well, I've heard all I need to hear. I was just hearing today a lady that has been attending one of your Alpha courses passed away sadly. And you know, none of us are promised tomorrow, are we? No. And that's why I say a few seconds from now, you'll be stood before the throne. And it's important that we hear the gospel, and it's important that we are confident in the gospel so that we can share it with other people. If you knew the cure for cancer, and you knew that cure, and you didn't tell anybody else, how bad would that be? And yet you and I have know the cure for sin. We know the cure that not only destroys, in terms of in this life, something that destroys, but something that can destroy for eternity. And you and I know the truth. So I'm going to share the gospel with us this afternoon. I understand from just quickly talking to Melissa that you normally finish at 5:30. So I am going to do my best, okay? Yes, Keith. Okay. Is there a clock I can see? What can I see?
No, we've hidden the clock.
Hey, it's a good job it's only 4:05, isn't it? That was a slight lie. Okay, I'll be good. Okay, so earlier this week, Monday, I was in London. There's a lady who was part of Destined to Win. Before she became a Christian, she's a Jewish lady. Before she became a Christian, she was heavily into the New Age and you and I might call that the occult, the sort of whole psychic thing and everything. And she found Christ and became a Christian. And later on, the Lord then took her back into that. So she now leads teams and going to some of the huge sort of psychic fairs. I don't know what the right terminology is. But she takes teams. And so when she joined Destined to Win, I said, well, if you're going to be part of this and I'm going to be helping to make sure that you stay on the ball and encourage you, then I need to come to what you're doing at least once a year. So that was Monday just gone, and I went down to London. Thousands of people at this fair. Might think it's an odd place for Christians to be. There's psychic mediums. There's was some lady channeling some angelic spirit from another planet. There's Buddhists doing meditation. There's every kind of strange thing that you might be able to imagine. And cat food, which is good as well. So that's a joke, but there was cat food as well. So as you said, it's a strange place for Christians to be, but the people that go to those things are seeking truth. Often when we talk to our neighbours, they're not in a season in their life which they're actually seeking. You and I are trying to answer a question that they're currently not asking. But the people who come to those events are seeking something. And so I was privileged to share the gospel with a number of folks and pray with people. And one lady, I thought it was quite amusing, she came forward for sort of some kind of psychic guidance, and I said, that's not what we're about. She was wondering whether or not she should buy a particular house, and I said, I'm not going to be able to give you that answer, and I said, you should pray about it, and if God speaks to you, you're then going to be in a difficult spot, because if he does speak to you, you're going to have to do what he says. So you better ask yourself, first of all, do you really want his advice, rather than have him rubber stamp your own decision, because he won't do it. So I wasn't willing to give her the answer on that. But I said to you, would you mind if I pray for you, lovely lady? And she said, yeah, no, yes, please pray for me. And the moment I began to pray, God spoke to me. Something and I said it to her. I said, just recently, I said, people have pushed you away and you've been very rejected just recently by people that are very close to you. And she honestly looked terrified. And she said, how did you know that about me? And I thought, you're at a psychic fair. What do you know? I thought it was a strange response. And I said, well, we're praying. And I said, when we talk to God, he talks back. And that's what he's saying to you. And he wants you to know that he's kind and he's not going to push you away. And if you draw to him, you're going to find him. And I kind of realized that at these fairs, people are kind of selling the same stuff wrapped up differently. They might have a kind of a meditation bowl making a strange noise, or they might be kind of doing whatever. But everybody is trying to sort of sell relaxation, peace, meditation, vegan, healthy food, which I tried, was lovely. So all of that kind of thing. And I kind of thought, well, what am I selling that's any different? You with me? Because I tell people, you know, well, whether you call it prayer or meditation, sit quietly in the morning and think about your day and be thankful. and try and forgive people who have hurt you. That's kind of common sense, isn't it? Living life in balance and those kind of things. And I just kind of realized the cross is what nails it. The cross shifts everything. So I'm going to talk about that for a few minutes because it's fundamental. A lot of times people will come to spirituality or Christianity wanting to bolt something onto their life. Lord, God, here's my life, and I could do with a bit more revelation, a bit more wisdom, a bit more peace, a bit more something. And I want to add whatever I can spiritually to my life. And so sometimes people have a personal creed that's made up of all kinds of bits and pieces of truth that they've picked up along the way. But when we come to Jesus, it's different, because when I come to him, I'm not bolting something onto my life. I'm coming for transformation. You know, when Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house, Zacchaeus didn't have a revelation about how to do things slightly differently. Jesus turned him upside down, or the right way up. In fact, those who are with Jesus were known for turning the world upside down. Actually, God doesn't turn me upside down. He turns me the right way up. But it is radical. It is life and death. It is transformation. So I'm going to read some verses, and I'll go through fairly quickly, simply because of time. So forgive me for the speed. My dad always says I speak too fast. I always tell him he speaks too slow. Sorry about that. Romans 1, verse 6 says this. Where am I? Romans 1, verse 16. I am not ashamed, Paul says, of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. No matter who I am, no matter what I've done, no matter where I come from, what language I speak, what culture or type of person I am, what color of skin I am, the gospel is for everyone. And you may say, Keith, what is the gospel? It's amazing when you talk to a group of Christians, and I've tried this and asked people, what is the gospel? And it's amazing the variation of responses you can have to that question. So I'm going to tell you what the gospel is. In fact, I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says the gospel is. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3, Paul writes this. I received what I passed on to you of first importance. Everybody just say first importance.
First importance.
That Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. He was buried and was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. And Paul writes, by this gospel, you are saved. Not any other gospel. What is the gospel by which I am saved? That Christ died for my sins. Not just the sins of the world. I haven't committed all of the sins. Is anybody here who's committed every sin there is to do? No. You know, the good thing is you don't have to. You can learn from others that have. You see, like, don't do that. But we've all committed some sin. And Jesus died for my sins and was buried and raised on the third day. That is the gospel. That's the good news. Why is it the good news? And just focus for a second. Think about the cross. If you go back into Genesis, you find when Adam and Eve sinned, God killed an animal. And they would have worn the skin to cover their nakedness. And that's the first time we read of death in the Garden of Eden, when God sacrificed an animal to cover them. Then we have all the lambs, the sacrifices through the Old Testament. All of it pointing forwards to Jesus. Then we have that day where John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Once for all. And then we look right into Revelation, where the Apostle John sees the Lamb of God as freshly slain. You know, the cross is right through Scripture, whether you look at the scapegoat or lots of different passages, you realize this is the cross in picture form. And the funny thing is that the cross is there in eternity, and it's anchored on a date We know somewhere around AD 33, Jesus died. But if I said to you, when did Jesus die? Well, according to Paul in Romans, before the foundation of the world. So the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. Well, that's a long time ago. The Apostle John says he sees the Lamb of God as freshly slain. Well, that was AD 70, kind of roughly, I guess. I'm guessing on the date there. Isaiah, who saw it ahead of time, as did David, writing in the Old Testament. So Isaiah, about 600 BC, he says he was pierced. Not he will be pierced, but he was crushed, he was bruised, he was pierced for our transgressions, past tense. God will see, the Father will see the suffering and be satisfied. In other words, the bill has been paid. When was it paid? You know, I struggled as a young Christian because I thought, how can Jesus forgive my sin and take my sin on the cross? I wasn't born until 1972. I hadn't sinned before that. I can guarantee it. I sinned afterwards. But how did Jesus take my sin? Well, Jesus, the cross stands in eternity, anchored in history, but the blood of Jesus is now. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. The cross is an eternal thing, even though we have a day. Not only that, the cross, you know, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus all happened in this small piece of land, which is the crossroads of Asia and Europe and Africa. He's in the perfect place. Look at that, he's the perfect person. He's at the point he died, he's fully God. And he's fully man. And he's hanging between heaven and earth. He's in the perfect place at the perfect time. The Bible says, at the perfect time, when the time had come, Christ died. Jesus is at the perfect place, perfect time, and he's the perfect person to take my sin and hang between heaven and earth and say, it's finished. Bill paid. Hallelujah. The cross is the centerpiece of civilization. Jesus is the person of civilization, the center of civilization. Back then, they wouldn't have known that we would even arrange our dates. Our entire date system is divided between before him and after him. He's the middle of the whole lot. Hallelujah. And whether I like it or not, one day I'm going to face him. And when he returns, the Bible says, not long from now, when Jesus returns, every knee will bow. And they'll look on him whom they pierced. I love how you look in Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit falls. And Peter what a day. The Holy Spirit's fallen on the people. People are speaking in languages they've never learned. And visible fire has appeared on the head. There's 100 messages you want to preach on that day. With me? And he'd have had much longer than 20 minutes, but that's not true. But what would you preach? And what does he preach? He preaches, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made Lord and Christ. He spoke to the crowd, this Jesus whom you crucified. Who killed Jesus? And the truthful answer is, kind of everyone and no one. Jesus said, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down. But what did he die for? He died for my sin, so I have a hand in it. Jesus died for my sin, and even the centurion responsible for, we'd assume 100 soldiers because of his name, the centurion, probably responsible for many crucifixions, when he saw the sky go black and he felt the earthquake and the other things that happened when Jesus died, he said, surely this man is the Son of God. And whether I'm born, you know, here we are standing today in 2026, or whether I'm, whatever season I'm born in, the cross is something I'm going to face, just like that centurion did. Jesus is the perfect mediator. 2 Corinthians 5, I'm going to read a verse from there. How am I doing time-wise? Oh, very good. 2 Corinthians 5. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5. It's gone from my Bible. Come on, quickly. 2 Corinthians 5. Beautiful verse. I'll just talk about the effects of the cross. It says, if anyone is in Christ, verse 17, sorry, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. If anyone, just say anyone.
Anyone.
I'm not a great Calvinist. What does that mean? People who you know, John Calvin, you know, kind of made everything of that, the fact that God has chosen certain people. God has made his choice about who's going to get saved and who's not going to get saved. And I get where those verses come from, but I'm also very, very familiar with so many verses that say anyone. And that God wills not the death of a sinner, but that all should come to repentance. The God's will for you and for me is that I'm an anyone if anyone comes to me. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. You know, I love the fact that, you know, I've got two testimonies when it comes to Tracy. You know, I think God put us together. But I also think I have a choice. You with me? I think Adam's the only chap who could ever say, Lord, the woman you gave me. I think if I say, Lord, the woman you gave me, I think he's going to say, no, I helped. That was your choice. And that God has made everything possible for me to come to him, and I can do nothing to save myself, but I do have a choice to believe. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, in him you also believed. That's your part. He did everything else. It says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. The cross is not just for you, it's for you and I to have the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. Just like Jesus brought us to the Father, Jesus said, he who receives me receives the one who sent me. But Jesus also said, he who receives you, talking to the disciples, receives me. What does that mean? I have a role to bring Jesus to those around me. I'd be terrified of one day them saying to me, Keith, you knew and you didn't tell me. How dare you? Well, I was embarrassed. It's not good then. God has given so that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. That's the gospel, isn't it? It's not that anybody's perfect. It's amazing when you talk to some people and you say, are you a Christian? And they begin to tell you how good they are. I'm such a good person. I've done this. I've done that. I've done the other. I remember preaching in a church somewhere, and the pastor's mum was there, elderly lady. And he said, Keith, he said, would you mind talking to my mum? I said, well, I'll have a go. So I sat with this lady and I said to her, are you a Christian? She said, young man, because I was younger then. She said, young man, she told me all the good things she'd done. And she said, do you mean to say I'm not a Christian? I said, madam, you may very well be. I don't know. I said, but it's not for any of the reasons you've given me so far. When people really know Jesus, guess what they do? They start telling you how bad they were. Christians aren't perfect. They're forgiven. Hallelujah. It says here, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sin against them. That when you and I stand before God on the day of judgment, and Jesus says, no, I paid for that. Their sin's on me. Their account is on me. I paid their debt. And has committed us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Hallelujah. Mm. What does an ambassador do? Ambassador carries the authority of the country that sent them. I've heard people say to me and to churches as a whole, Keith, we have to win the right to share the gospel. Meaning, we have to do years of, I don't know, face painting and food parcels and coffee mornings. And I'm for all of those things. I've done that throughout my life. All for it. But I don't win the right. The right to share the gospel doesn't come from the people I'm talking to. It comes from the person that sent us. Mm-hmm. And you and I have been sent. That's why we're ambassadors. And Jesus came and he said, the kingdom of God is here. That's what an ambassador does. They carry the authority of the kingdom they're sent from. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. This is just a beautiful verse. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. This is the crowning bit. So that in him we might be the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. You know, the cross is the place of transition. It's the place of exchange. It's where he gets all of you. That's the painful bit. He's like, Jesus, I've come to bring you my sin. Jesus is like, I've already taken it. I don't want your wrongs, I want your rights. When I come to the cross, I don't give him my wrongs so much as I give him my rights. Lord, this is my life laid down. This is my time, not you were purchased. This is my money. Everything you have belongs to me if you surrender your life. When I come to the cross, guess what? It's a death to Keith Golden, who wants to be in charge. He gets me. The good news is, I get him. And I'm the winner in the deal. He gets my rubbish. I get his glory. I get his righteousness. I get his favor. Hallelujah. God, the Bible says, if we believe in him, those who came to him and received him, believed in him, he gave the right to become children of God. Not quietly coming in the back like, Lord, I hope nobody sees me. That whole kind of imposter syndrome. No, God gave the right to become children of God. Do you become worthy? I become worthy in him. How does that pay for? It's signed in his blood. The Bible says we overcome the enemy by the word, the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Why? Because the blood of Jesus is, it's like the legal document. And the enemy knows it. The devil knows when you're purchased by the blood of Jesus, it's legal. Hallelujah. It's legal. You're his. The cross is the place of transition. Just want to say this, for every anointing there's a cross. The way up is down. There's times in our life where God will allow us to go through wilderness or a place of loss. Often that place of loss becomes in the kingdom the place of greatest gain. The place where it's like, Lord, I give you my life. Sometimes that gets put to the test. And God goes, okay. Do you remember when the devil said to God, Job only serves you because you protect him all the time. If you withdrew your protection, he'd run away from you. And God goes, okay, let's see. Is this relationship with God just transactional? It's just like, God, I'm just doing a deal with you. I'm not really serving you. I'm in it for the benefits. And so God allowed the devil to attack Job, and Job lost pretty much everything. He said, even though I don't understand it, you know, even if he kills me, I'll still trust him. What did God do? God allowed Job to go through that season of loss. What did God do? God gave him back twice as much. The cross, I'm talking about the cross that we face. Sometimes we go through a season of loss that God allows. But let me just say this. The cross isn't a place we live. It's a place we go through, just like Jesus. Jesus went through the cross. Jesus didn't stay there. Unlike some of the Catholic Church, and you know, I'm not against having a figure of Jesus on the cross because it can remind us, so long as we don't think that's a place to dwell. It's not. That's a place of transition, because after the cross comes resurrection. Hallelujah. The cross is the place of exchange. It's the place of redemption, the place of salvation, but it's not a dwelling place. I preached last time I was here on joy. Remember that? Mm-hmm. I can actually remember. I preached on joy. I remember saying, sorrow is temporary. Joy is eternal. A million years from now, I can walk up to you in heaven and go, how you doing? You go, oh, pretty good. It's been a joyful day. Why? Because joy is the natural state for you in his presence. In his presence is fullness of joy. But we go through seasons where we are tried and it's hard and we're tested. The cross is the place of healing. By his stripes we're healed. Jesus was, if you look in Isaiah 53, I haven't got time, or the transaction, he was despised so you'd be accepted. He was left alone, so you won't be alone. I love it that Jesus went as far down as it's possible to go. The Bible says he who ascended is also the one who descended to the lowest part, so that he might lead captivity captive. Jesus on Easter Saturday or something around there, he went down and preached the gospel to those in Hades. So why, it doesn't matter how low somebody's gone, Jesus has been lower, which is why he can rescue me. He is able to redeem completely. He's able to save completely. And he's able to take my life, no matter how it's been, what it is, he's able to transform it. And he's able to make it into his plan for my life. Hallelujah. I was sat with a lady on Monday. Not the lady I told you about, but another lady who came forward for healing for her back and various other things. And I said, have you noticed, she was there seeking truth, that all these stands, there were hundreds of them, they're all sort of selling the same thing. And she said, yeah, I've noticed. And I said, this isn't the same thing. If you come to Jesus, he's going to transform everything. Do you really want that? This is the big deal. When I say yes to him, yeah, I get everything he has, but he's going to transform me. I become new in his presence. Hallelujah. I become his ambassador, his child, his son. And I wonder where you're at. Who is it said, one of the famous revivalists said, well, there'll come a day where there'll be basically salvation without repentance and this without that. And the idea that I can take the gospel but not really face the cross. It's not true. I'm not a Christian because my parents are. I'm not a Christian because I've been to church all my life. I'm not a Christian because I'm born in Britain or for any other reason. Then I came to the cross. I faced Jesus. And I said yes. Hallelujah. We as believers need to get a whole lot more confident in the power of the gospel. Hallelujah. A whole lot more confident. And I'm not suggesting you wear sandwich boards, walk around the street saying the end is nigh. I'm not suggesting that. I think we can package the truth very well, wonderfully. But we need to actually know what the truth is and be confident and be able to speak to people about the blood of Jesus. And I've heard people say, Keith, the blood of Jesus, people just not interested. It's just rubbish. It's not true. People need something that's real and works. And so I'm going to pray. If you want to just bow your heads and we'll finish because I'm over time.